Good morning. Been a while since I've stood up here on Sunday morning, hasn't it? I'm going to make up for it. If you get hungry or fall asleep, it's okay. I hope not to keep you too long. You know, I never know how long I talk. I'm like that old preacher. I'm not really like an old preacher, but... The preacher used to come up and he just opened his Bible and he just start reading where it was at. He didn't have to prepare nothing. Well, I'm not like that for sure. I always got to prepare, and I'm a last person. I'm one that prepares at the last moment. I've got to get urgency in me, so I do that in everything. So it's not just this. Anyway. If you got your Bibles, you'd like to be turning to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're glad you're here with us. We're awful thankful, and if you're visiting with us, we're awful glad to have you. Who do you listen to? What do you listen to? It makes a big difference. Moods change just by the music we listen to. Listen to a sad song and you get sad. Listen to a happy song and you get happy, don't it? It works that way, don't it? I don't know why. It does. You ever seen the cartoon of the... And this is an old one. I know some of you may not remember this, but the man there, and he had one guy sitting on his left shoulder and one on his right whispering in his ear. There to make a decision. Got one saying, I'll go ahead, it ain't gonna hurt, nobody's looking. Got the other one saying, you better not, you'll get caught. You know, that is a life, isn't it? That same scenario happens to us most often. We come to those decisions. What do I do? Sometimes I hear my mother and dad in my ear saying, you better not do that. It won't work out for the good. I remember those wise words most often now. Then I hear my friends say, I'll go ahead. You don't know what it's like unless you try it. Oh, it won't hurt you one time. Go ahead and try it. If you don't never do it, you won't never know if you like it or not. Decisions. We make decisions daily, don't we? We made a decision to get up this morning to be here. We'll make a decision whether we're back here tonight. We'll make a decision Wednesday night whether we did 10 Bible study. We'll make a decision tomorrow to get up and go to work maybe, or if you got a job. Decisions. Life is full of them. How do you look at them? Who you listen to the most will greatly influence our decision making. Choose your friends wisely. They'll make you or break you. You'll pick up attitudes, skills, life views, and goals from the five people you most associate with in life. That's true. Think about it. If you don't believe that, spend some time with some teenagers. I guarantee you spend long enough with them, your vocabulary will change. It will. Influenced by others around us. Our story comes from Numbers chapter 13 and 14. I won't read everything. There's some that I'll skip over. It really won't benefit us that much in my lesson. Most of it we'll read. I'll go pretty hurriedly through this. Linda's got a dinner date. And it includes me, so I got to be there. I hope it does. Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, each one a leader among them. So Moses sent from the wilderness Paran at the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the sons of Israel. Jump to 16. And the reason I did, I can't pronounce their names. So these are the names of those men who went to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. 12 men were chosen out of each tribe. 12 men, leaders of that tribe, the top of those men, they were leaders. When Moses, verse 17, when Moses sent them to explore the land, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some fruit into the land. It was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up to explore the land. And when they reached the valley of Ignog, they cut down off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. And at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And they reported to them, to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went up into the land into which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live in it are powerful, and the cities are fortified, very large. We even saw descendants of Anakim there, and the Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and the Ammonites live in the hill countries, and the Canaanites, they live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report among the land and they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those who live in it. And all the people we saw there of great size. We saw the Nephilim and there in the descendants of Anakim, for they are from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in their sights, and we looked the same to them. Chapter 14. That night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud, and all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole community said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Life lesson, watch out what you say and what you say you want to desire. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword for our wives and children? We be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better off for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose us a leader and go back to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their face in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelites assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and it will be given to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to the tent of the meeting of the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. And we do know after that that Moses prayed unto God, and he prayed that he would not destroy the Israelites on the sake of that the Egyptians and all the other lands would say he was not able to bring his people into the promised land. God said he would not do that, but he did say Did you know the rest of the story? I will send them into the wilderness. They will not go into that promised land, but they will wander as many years as days they spend in the wilderness, 40 years. And not one of them, except Caleb and Joshua, that is over the age of 20, shall enter into that promised land. They will all die and be buried in the wilderness. 12 men saw the same thing. They saw that, and they saw it told pretty much the same story. The land is flowing with milk and honey. But there is great people there also. Did Joshua and Caleb not see those large people, those giants? Sure they did. They seemed like everybody else, didn't they? And how about the Israelites? Have they not seen all what God has performed before them? Did they not see the 12 plagues they had brought upon the Egyptians? Did they not see the Red Sea cross and they walked across dry land? Did they not see the manna from heaven and the birds from heaven that they could eat? Did they not see the water flow from the rock? Did they not know that God saw them through the defeat of the Amalekites? Did they not see the cloud in the day and the fire by night that showed them that God was there with them? What was the problem? Surely they've seen these things. Surely they've seen the power of God. What was the difference in them? 10 said they are stronger than we are, and we look like grasshoppers compared to them. And they looked at us the same way. In other words, they seen us, that they was larger than us, we were smaller. They were defeated before they went in. How many times have we ourselves looked at problems and our situation, and I said, I can't do that? How many times have we wanted to do something, and I said, I just can't do that? How many times have someone's brought a challenge before us, and I said, I just can't do that? We don't try, we don't start. We automatically say, I can't do that. The problem with the same of the 10 spies, they said this. It's called, I can't and we cannot do this. Joshua and Caleb says, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. We cannot do it, was the 10. Joshua and Caleb, we cannot do it. Joshua and Caleb's thought was this: I can't do it on my own, but with God we can do it. That was the only thing difference between the 10 and the 2. Joshua and Caleb had the faith that God would see them through because he said it was theirs. You ever thought about this thought? When God says it was it theirs? Sure it was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was theirs. Now, there was a condition to that, wasn't it? Having faith enough in God that they could take it. Here it is. We're going to say to ourselves, things are different than it was back then, aren't we? God was with them. He showed them all the miracles, and he showed them all these things. He don't act the same with us as he did then. Of course, we're familiar with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. why can I do this? 1 John 4 and 2 John 4 and 4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How do I accomplish things? How do I accomplish the mountains it sets before me? Not on my own. Great things come before us multiple times. How do I look at them? Certainly, if I look at them by myself, I can't accomplish them. But with God, all things are possible. I have God's Spirit in me if I'm a Christian that lives within me. I have His power. Nothing else ever or ever will be that powerful. I have the most power that lives within me that man has ever known. You can talk about the atom bomb. You can talk about anything man can come up with and how powerful it is. It will never reach God's power. We must have faith in God to believe it. And because of the majority of the people believed in the 10 spies, they forever missed the promised land. Question of the day is, who are we listening to? We cannot attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they are spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there was of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. Now, would you like to know what the Canaanites and them living in the land thought? Actually really thought about the Israelites? Joshua 2 and 8. Rahab, the harlot, when the two spies with Joshua went in to spy out that land, listen to what they said. Rahab, before these spies lay down at night, she went up on the roof, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and a great fear of us has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you come out of Egypt, and that you what you did in Sidon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage fell because of you. For the Lord your God is the God in heaven above and on the earth below. They actually feared the Israelites. No, they actually feared their God. Ain't that amazing? Do we realize how many times we would fear when we didn't do things? And it was not that at all. How many times do our enemies fear us? How do we handle our hurdles in our life, our everyday problems? How do we handle our mountains? You know, there's valleys and peaks in all of our lives, right? There's times we're down in the valleys, and there's times we're on the top of the mountain. But it seems like more times we're at the bottom, aren't we? Why? Can it be our attitude? Can it be who we're listening to? Many times as we go through life, if we only listen to the right person, if I'd only listened more to the ones older than me, my parents and those things, how many things would I have got through with having to suffer through them? Who are we listening to? Where is our refuge at? Psalms 9:9 says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." Refuge is a place of safety. And there's always safety in God. We can never make a mistake if we turn to God. As long as we follow what God wants us to do. And of course, I, as all people, to understand this, not totally impossible for being human. I do make mistakes. I do sin. But thank God that He sent a Savior to take my place. Forgive me. Place of safety. How do you overcome them? I'm reminded of a story called David and Goliath. Anybody heard that before? But let me tell you what David done. The Israelites standing before Goliath, and they looked how big he was and how giant. Of course, nobody would go out and fight him because of his great size. They were looking at Goliath through the eyes of men. But David looked at Goliath through the eyes of God. David basically said, "I can accomplish this." And you know how? Because of the bear and the lion. God gave me those victories. Now, we call bears and lions, for David's sake, a hurdle. It'd be a mountain to me, but it was a hurdle to him. And he said, "If he'll deliver me from the bear and the lion, he will deliver me from this giant, this Philistine." Of course, we know what happened, don't you? See, the bear and the lion was David's hurdles. Goliath was his mountain. David would have never slayed Goliath without he went through some things with a lion and the bear that he seen God was handling for him. Then he's able to. It's called faith. We build on our life on faith. The small things, the bigger things, the giant things come through faith. If I can't handle the small things, I won't handle the large things. God provides. God provided for Abraham when he went up on the mountain. Isaac spoke up in Genesis 22, 7 and 10. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide for the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two went up together. Faith. That's why he's in Hebrews chapter 11. That's why all of those are in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith in God. They had faith enough to believe in God. They had faith enough to serve God. They had faith enough to go up on the mountain. We walk by faith, not by sight. How do we overcome? It is faith. We need a support system. And God is that support system, and what a support system He is. We can accomplish it. Joshua and Caleb stood in the valley, and they said, "We will climb that mountain." As somebody said one time, "You'll either find me on dead at the side of the mountain, or you'll find me on top." Attitude. If I think I can, if I think I can't, I'm right. Did you get that? If I think I can, and if I think I can't, I'm right. So as a man thinketh, so is he. What is your attitude about life? Attitudes can change by whom we listen to. The world gives us a very gloomy outlook on life, don't it? I listened to our brother Lonnie Ritchie yesterday at a funeral. He made something I think I agree with wholeheartedly, and I think you would too. Our greatest problem in our life is not AIDS. It's not Ebola. It's not some foreign country. It's not the ISIS. It's not our greatest problem. Our greatest problem is sin. When the world gets you down, who do you listen to? Where is your faith? In man or in God? Where is your refuge? Where do you run to? The world or God? Matthew 19:26, I done mentioned. With people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We have the faith enough to believe it. What was the Israelites putting their faith in? What was Joshua and Caleb putting their faith in? I can rely on myself. I can rely on God. Where does my strength come from? We know the world will let us down. Life is the sum of all of our choices. Each of us has the freedom to choose how we will respond to the circumstances in which we find ourselves. My choice. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." Choice. The Israelites lost their one and only chance to enter into the promised land due to one main reason: fear, brought by the lack of faith and belief in the power of God to see them through. They were too scared of the giants and the kings they saw in the promised land they were supposed to possess. They did not have enough faith and belief in God that he could conquer and defeat those giants for them. As a result, they lost their biggest blessing in their entire life. Let us not lose our biggest blessing in life. Our biggest blessing is to be a child of God here upon this life and to live with him in eternity. There's nothing will surpass that. It's our greatest blessing we can have, and it's offered to us today. We have that choice. We stand at the crossroads of life. We'll follow the road that's most traveled or the one that's least traveled. It's our choice. Who are you listening to this morning? Satan or God? Both are calling. What's your decision? We offer to help you in any way you stand in need this morning as we prepare to sing the invitational song. If you'll be standing, please.